At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
I always had a private doctor. I didn't think I needed VA care. Then I learned VA is ranked above private care systems nearby and costs less. I'm getting the best care of my life with providers trained to treat veterans. Get what you earn. Visit choose.va.gov.
Not all veterans are eligible for the type or amount of benefits mentioned here.
All right, so welcome back, everyone, for another deep dive.
Yes, welcome back.
And today we're looking at something pretty wild.
Pretty wild indeed.
January 31st, 2025.
A day that will live in infamy.
Well, maybe.
We'll see how it goes.
Yeah, that's right. We're imagining a world where Donald Trump is back in the White House.
Back for round two.
Yeah, for a second term. And our main source for this deep dive is a news analysis.
A really interesting piece.
Yeah, that really digs into how this day unfolded. And let me tell you, it is a doozy.
A real doozy.
We're talking political maneuvering.
Oh, yeah.
Economic turmoil.
Lots of that.
Even some corporate shenanigans.
Always some of that with Trump.
Always.
Never a dull moment.
So the big question we're grappling with today is, can we separate fact from fiction in this absolute whirlwind of a Trump news cycle?
It's like a tornado.
Yeah, it really is.
News and spin.
Yeah, and what I really liked about this piece is it goes beyond just reporting the events.
It's true.
You know, it really analyzes how all this stuff is being spun and used by different political groups.
Because everybody's trying to take advantage.
Oh, yeah. And you know, for the situation.
To their benefit, right?
Yeah.
So
it gets pretty wild.
It does. It gets wild. It's a lesson in media literacy, I think.
It really is.
With some pretty dark humor along the way.
Very dark.
Very dark. All right. So let's jump right in.
Okay. Let's do it.
The biggest story of the day, and I mean, it's hard to miss, is this headline.
Oh, boy.
Trump kills 67 people. Now, before anyone jumps to conclusions,
right.
This refers to a horrific plane and helicopter collision just outside of D.C.
Yeah. Terrible tragedy.
Yeah. A really, really sad situation.
And of course, immediately it becomes politicized.
Yeah. So the source points out.
Right.
It's not about blaming Trump for the crash itself.
No.
But how this tragedy is being used in an already incredibly divided political landscape.
Right.
So we're seeing opinion pieces arguing that Democrats need to be just as ruthless as Republicans were with Biden.
Yeah. Blaming Trump for absolutely everything.
Everything.
Whether it's his fault or not.
So basically, take the gloves off.
Right.
No more Mr. Nice Guy.
Yeah. And the source quotes these opinion pieces saying things like, Democrats need to shove the presidency down Trump's throat.
Wow.
So how does Trump respond to this tragedy?
Well, as you might expect, he deflects blame.
Of course.
He blames Obama-era aviation standards.
Even though he's been president for a while now?
Right.
Like, how long can you blame Obama? At some point, you're in charge.
It's on you.
Yeah.
But, of course, he also brings up Biden.
Of course.
Say that he lowered the standards to the lowest ever.
Oh, my gosh.
And he even throws in a claim about DEI initiatives being to blame.
Hold on, DEI.
Yeah, diversity, equity, inclusion.
Okay, so now diversity is a threat to air safety.
Apparently.
This is getting pretty out there.
It is.
I mean, come on.
It's classic Trump, though, right?
It is.
Finding a scapegoat. Playing on people's fears and prejudices to shift attention away from any responsibility.
And, you know, we can't forget Fox News. They jumped on this bandwagon, too, suggesting the FAA is understaffed because of quotas for deaf people. Dwarves and trans people.
I mean, oh, my God.
You can't make this stuff up.
It's almost like satire, but it's not.
It's real.
It's real.
It's real, and it's happening, and it's like, are they trying to...
I think they're trying to further divide and inflame tensions.
Right. It's targeting marginalized groups playing to Trump's base.
Absolutely.
So the question I have for you is, would Democrats ever stoop this low?
Oh, that's a good question.
Would they really just blame Trump for every little thing, even if it's not directly his fault?
I mean, it's hard to imagine, right? But the source kind of presents an interesting thought experiment here.
Okay.
Imagine someone like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez framing the crash as a consequence of Trump's plan to downsize the civil service.
Oh.
Right. Even a milder approach like that could still be seen as exploiting the tragedy for political gain.
That's a pretty sobering thought.
It is.
It makes you wonder how low things could go in this alternate reality.
It's a slippery slope, right?
Yeah.
Once you start playing that game,
yeah.
Where does it end?
Okay, so let's move on from this tragedy to something maybe a little less heavy, at least on the surface.
Okay.
The Source dives into some of the drama surrounding Trump's cabinet nominees.
Oh, yeah. Always a good time.
Always fun. Specifically, there's potential trouble brewing for Tulsi Gabbard, who's been nominated for Director of National Intelligence, and Robert F. Kennedy Jr.
Interesting choices.
Yeah. And whose exact position isn't actually clear from the Source material.
A little vague there.
Yeah.
But you know that what's really fascinating is how the Source contrasts the smooth confirmation of Doug Burgum for Interior Secretary.
Oh, yeah.
With these potential roadblocks facing Gabbard and Kennedy.
Wait, like they're having a much harder time getting through this process.
It's not as easy as you might think.
Mm, right. And so Gabbard's confirmation hearing seems to have been pretty rough.
Yeah.
Her past support for Edward Snowden, her opposition to surveillance laws, her cozying up to figures like Putin and Assad, it's all coming back to bite her now.
Yeah, it's all coming out.
Yeah.
And what's particularly interesting is that even some Republicans are voicing concerns.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Senator Josh Hawley
hinted
that the GOP might not have enough votes to confirm her.
Wow.
Which could lead to the White House withdrawing her nomination.
Oh, to avoid embarrassment.
Yeah.
So the Senate actually rejecting a president's nominee, especially one from his own party.
Yeah.
That's pretty unprecedented.
It is rare.
Wow.
Especially for a president's own party to turn against them in such a public way.
Yeah.
This suggests that maybe Trump's grip on the GOP isn't as strong as it once was.
That's really interesting.
Right.
Okay. And then we have Robert F. Kennedy Jr.
Right.
Like I said, it's a little strange that the Source doesn't specify what position he's up for. But what we do know is that Senator Bill Cassidy, who's a physician himself, has publicly expressed reservations about Kennedy's qualifications.
That's a big deal.
Yeah.
Especially coming from a member of Trump's own party.
Yeah.
Adds to this growing sense that maybe there are cracks forming in Trump's support base.
Hmm. Even among those who were previously, you know, really loyal allies.
Right. It's like they're starting to question his judgment.
Yeah. Well, that's what happens when you nominate RFK Jr.
Maybe so.
For a position that we don't even know what it is.
Yeah, it's a head scratcher.
All right. So we've gone from tragedy to political drama.
Right.
Now let's dive into the economic whirlpool.
Oh, boy.
That is Trumponomics.
Hold on tight.
And, you know, it's hard to tell what's real and what's spin with this administration.
It really is a masterclass in obfuscation.
It is like they're masters of illusion.
Smoke and mirrors everywhere.
So the Source gives us a couple of really clear examples of how these economic policies are impacting people like in their daily lives.
Right. Real people.
Yeah. Real.
Real consequences.
Yeah.
So first, there's this voluntary resignation scheme for federal employees.
Okay.
It's being presented as a way for people to leave their jobs willingly.
Okay.
But it turns out. It's a bit of a trap.
Oh, how so?
Well, it's not as voluntary as it seems.
Whoa.
There are all sorts of strings attached.
And the Source shares stories from some federal employees who wrote in and explained how scary and uncertain this whole thing feels.
They're losing their jobs.
Yeah.
Their livelihoods.
Yeah, it's really sad.
It is.
Okay, and then there's this chaotic federal funding freeze.
Oh, yeah, that was a mess.
Full of contradictions. And a judge actually ended up blocking it.
Which is pretty unusual.
It is.
For a judge to step in like that.
Yeah, it's a real mess.
It is.
And it makes you wonder about the competence of the people running things.
Well, that's the big question, isn't it?
Yeah. Is it intentional or just a result of incompetence?
Because if it's just incompetence, it suggests that things could get even worse.
Right, because there's no real strategy or plan behind it.
It's just chaos.
Right.
And that's never a good thing.
No, it's not. All right, so next up, we're shifting gears to look at how corporate America seems to be bending over backwards to appease the Trump administration.
This is always an interesting dynamic.
It is.
Because these are companies that often boast about being neutral and supporting free speech.
Yeah.
But they seem to be caving under political pressure.
And the Source gives us three really clear examples.
Okay.
First, there's Meta.
Uh-huh.
They claim to be all about free expression.
Right. Free speech absolutists.
But they appear to be censoring pro-choice groups on Instagram.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's pretty hypocritical.
It is. It really is.
Especially for a company that prides itself on connecting people.
Right.
and giving everyone a voice.
Then there's Google Maps.
Okay.
They've agreed to reflect Trump's renaming of Denali back to Matt McKinley.
Wow, really? Going back to that?
Yeah. And the Gulf of Mexico to the Gulf of America, at least for American users.
Oh, interesting.
So they're basically making changes
right
to appease Trump.
Yeah, bowing to political pressure.
And finally, there's Paramount Global.
Okay.
They decided to settle Trump's lawsuit over a Kamala Harris interview on 60 Minutes.
Oh, that's right.
Now, the lawsuit was completely frivolous.
It was.
But it seems like Paramount was more interested in staying on the DOJ's good side, especially since they're trying to get a merger approved.
Oh, yeah. They don't want to make any enemies.
No.
In the Trump administration.
Especially not when you're trying to push a merger through.
Right.
So it makes you wonder, you know, if these kinds of lawsuits are becoming a way for powerful people to just bully media organizations into silence.
It's a chilling effect.
Yes.
On free speech and a free press.
It really is.
And it's a reminder that even massive corporations
can
be bullied by those in power.
It's sad.
It is, and it makes you wonder, you know, who's going to stand up to them?
Right.
If these big companies are willing to give in, what about the rest of us?
All right, so before we get too bogged down in all this doom and gloom, let's inject a little bit of humor.
Okay. I could use a laugh.
Into our deep dive.
Yeah.
The source tells a story about Representative Lauren Boebert's failed attempt to, well, police the restrooms in the Capitol.
Oh, Boebert.
Yeah.
Always up to something.
So Boebert, who's known for her inflammatory rhetoric and attacks on transgender people, seems to have had a bit of a run-in with karma.
Oh, really?
The source describes how she tried to catch Representative Sarah McBride, the first openly transgender state senator, using the wrong bathroom, only to realize she had the wrong person.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
I mean, it's almost comical.
It is.
If it weren't so indicative of the state of our political discourse.
Right. Like, we're focused on bathrooms.
Yeah.
When there are so many other important issues.
It's just ridiculous.
It is.
Okay. So, to end this section on a more positive note.
Okay.
The source also talks about how the Los Angeles Dodgers have been stepping up to help their community recover from those recent fires.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. They've set up a fund. They're using Dodger Stadium as a distribution center.
Wow.
They've pledged millions of dollars to support the recovery efforts.
That's amazing.
It's a great example of how sports teams can be a real force for good in their communities.
Absolutely.
They're going beyond just entertainment to provide actual tangible support during a time of need.
They're really stepping up.
Yeah. And it's a nice reminder that even in these crazy times, there are still good people and organizations out there trying to make a positive difference.
It's good to remember that.
It is.
There's still good in the world.
Yeah. It gives you a little bit of hope, doesn't it?
It does.
Okay, so that wraps up the first chunk of our deep dive into this news analysis.
Wow, what a day.
I know, right? We've barely scratched the surface.
And it's only going to get crazier from here.
Oh, I'm sure of it. Buckle up. Everyone, we're in for a wild ride.
I'm ready for it.
All right, so stay tuned. We'll be right back with more after a quick break.
See you soon. Yeah, it is inspiring to see people helping each other out, especially when things feel so chaotic and, you know, as we've been talking about this wild day in 2025.
Yeah.
It makes you think about the bigger picture.
Mm-hmm. Really does.
I mean, this source, it paints a vivid picture of a society that's just wrestling with division, political instability, and this constant flood of information.
Right. And it's some true, some not.
It's hard to know what to believe.
It's overwhelming.
It really is.
It feels like we're constantly bombarded with news and opinions, and it's hard to know what to trust.
And this news analysis, though, I think it does a good job of highlighting the need for media literacy. Like, we can't just passively accept everything we read or hear.
Absolutely. We need to be critical thinkers.
Yeah.
Question our sources. You know,
always be asking,
who's saying this?
Right.
Why are they saying it? What's their agenda? Are they backing up their claims with evidence? Yeah, these are questions we should be asking ourselves all the time, especially in this age of social media.
Oh, yeah.
Where information spreads so quickly.
Like wildfire.
Yeah. It's like we need to develop like a built-in BS detector.
We do.
Right.
Because it's not just about the information itself.
Right.
It's also how it's presented.
Yeah.
How it's framed.
This source does a good job of breaking down how Trump and his allies use rhetoric to deflect blame play on fear and appeal to prejudice.
It's a masterclass in propaganda, really. Yeah. And it's scary how effective it can be.
So we've talked about the need for media literacy.
Right.
But this deep dive also makes me think about the importance of civic engagement. Like, we can't just sit back and watch as things unfold.
Oh, absolutely. We can't be passive consumers of information.
Right.
We need to be active participants in our democracy.
Wait, what does that look like?
Well, it means voting, of course.
Okay.
But it also means holding our elected officials accountable, mm-hmm. engaging in thoughtful discussions, and advocating for the issues that matter to us.
So it's about being the change you want to see in the world.
Exactly. We can't just rely on others to fix things.
Yeah, we each have a responsibility to step up.
Right.
And yeah. make our voices heard.
And you know, this whole experience,
yeah,
it's made me think about my own biases and assumptions.
It's easy to get caught up in our own little bubbles surrounded by people who agree with us.
It's comfortable.
It is.
But it's so important to expose ourselves to different perspectives.
Even if they make us uncomfortable.
Even if they challenge our beliefs, because that's how we learn and grow.
So you're saying intellectual humility is crucial.
It's essential.
Okay, so we've talked about media literacy and civic engagement.
Right.
What about this news analysis itself? What are your final thoughts on it?
I think it's a really powerful piece of journalism.
Okay.
It doesn't just tell you what happened. It helps you understand why it happened and what it means.
So it's more than just reporting the news.
It is.
It is.
It's analysis. It's context.
Yeah.
It's a wake-up call.
Okay.
Urging us to be more critical, more engaged, and more committed to truth and justice.
You know, I agree. It's been informative
yeah.
and unsettling.
It is.
But ultimately, I feel more motivated
Good.
To make a difference.
That's what it's all about.
Even if it's just a small one.
Every little bit helps.
Okay, so we've covered a lot of ground in this deep dive. We looked at a tragic plane crash, political maneuvering, economic turmoil, even how corporations are navigating this crazy landscape. It's almost like a greatest hits of
yeah.
Trump era dysfunction.
All packed into one day.
Yeah, and what strikes me is how this day reveals patterns that were already present in Trump's first term.
Oh, absolutely.
Like a disregard for the truth, a willingness to exploit divisions, a constant pursuit of self-interest.
It's like all the warning signs were there.
Right, but we ended up right back where we started.
It makes you wonder if we as a society are partly to blame.
Did we allow this to happen?
And if so,
yeah.
what can we do to prevent it from happening again?
These are really important questions.
They are.
And it's not just an academic exercise.
No.
It's about the future of our country and our democracy.
So we need to go beyond just analyzing the problem.
Yeah, and start brainstorming solutions.
Right. How do we strengthen our democratic institutions?
Yeah.
How do we make sure our leaders are accountable?
How do we encourage people to be more informed and engaged?
These are the million-dollar questions.
Yeah.
Now, I don't have all the answers.
But by having these conversations, by shining a light on these issues, maybe we can start moving in the right direction.
I think so.
I completely agree. We can't predict the future.
Right.
But we can try to shape it.
Absolutely.
And that starts with being aware, being engaged, and being willing to stand up for what we believe in.
And remember, even small actions can have a big impact.
Okay.
Talking to your friends and family about these issues, sharing accurate information, calling out misinformation when you see it, all of that matters.
It's like planting seeds
yeah.
of critical thinking and hope.
One conversation at a time.
I like that.
It's a collective effort.
Yeah.
We need to work together to create a more informed and engaged citizenry.
One that can navigate these challenges and build a better future.
Exactly.
Now, before we wrap up this deep dive,
okay.
I want to go back to something we touched on earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Is Trump acting intentionally? Or is he just incompetent?
That is the question.
It is something we've been going back and forth on.
Yeah.
And it's a tough one to answer.
It is, because there's evidence to support both sides.
Okay.
On one hand, Trump has a history of making impulsive decisions, of not thinking things through.
Like that whole federal funding freeze debacle.
Exactly.
What was he thinking?
It doesn't seem like a calculated move.
Right.
But then there are times when his actions are so outrageous, so over the top,
uh-huh.
that you wonder if there's a strategy behind them.
Like those lawsuits
yeah.
against ABC, Meta, and Paramount.
Right.
They were totally ridiculous, but they ended up making him millions.
Yeah, it's like he's figured out how to manipulate the legal system for his own profit.
So what are we supposed to do with that? Just accept that he's some evil genius?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I think it's more nuanced than that.
Okay.
I think he's a master manipulator.
Okay.
He knows how to get attention, how to play on people's emotions.
But he's also
driven by his ego and his insecurities.
So he's dangerous and incompetent.
It's a scary combination.
It is, and it makes it really hard to predict what will happen next.
Yeah. Will his second term be a repeat of the first? full of chaos and controversy?
Or will he somehow gain even more power and become even more authoritarian?
Those are big questions.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to be the one trying to answer them.
One thing's for sure.
What's that?
It's going to be fascinating to watch.
And probably a little terrifying, too.
Probably.
Well, on that note, I think we're about ready to wrap up this wild ride.
Okay.
Through a day in the Trump news cycle.
What a day.
I hope you found this deep dive as thought-provoking as I have.
We've explored just one day in an alternate 2025.
Right.
And it's clear that the challenges we face are complex.
Yeah.
And multifaceted, there are no easy answers.
But we can't just sit back and do nothing.
Right. We need to be informed, engaged, and willing to stand up for what we believe in.
Whether that's challenging misinformation, supporting organizations that are fighting for democracy, or having those tough conversations with friends and family.
Yeah.
Every action counts.
It does.
So as we step out of this alternate reality.
Okay.
Back into our
own. Back to the real world.
Yeah. I want to leave you with one final thought.
Okay, shoot.
The future is not set in stone.
No.
It's up to all of us to decide what kind of world we want to live in and to take action to make that happen.
Well said.
Thanks for joining us on The Deep Dive. Until next time, keep exploring.
Keep questioning.
And keep diving deep. So we talked about how this day, this one day in the Trump news cycle, shows us some pretty unsettling patterns. But what do you think is like the biggest takeaway for our listeners? You know, what should they be thinking about after listening to all this?
You know, it's easy to focus on the negative, right?
Yeah.
But I think what's really important to remember is that even in all this chaos, there are still those glimmers of hope, those moments that remind us that things aren't completely hopeless.
I like that. Yeah. We saw how the Dodgers stepped up to help their community, right, after those fires. And we saw some pushback against Trump's more extreme policies. I mean, not everyone just rolling over.
Exactly. People are speaking out. They're organizing. They're demanding better. And, you know, it's easy to feel powerless in the face of all this. But we have to remember that we're not just passive bystanders, right?
Right. It's not like we're just watching a movie.
You know? No. We have a choice.
Yeah.
We can choose how we respond to these challenges. And sometimes, honestly, the most powerful response is simply refusing to give in to despair.
It's choosing to stay informed, to stay engaged, to keep fighting for a better future, even when it feels like an uphill battle. This news analysis, it doesn't sugarcoat anything, does it? But it does offer a challenge, I think.
Absolutely. It's a call to action. It's asking us, are we willing to accept the status quo? Mm-hmm. Or are we willing to demand more? More from our leaders, more from our institutions, even more from ourselves.
That's a question I think everyone needs to ask themselves. And hopefully this deep dive, you know, can be a starting point for those conversations. It's easy to feel overwhelmed, but we can't let that paralyze us.
Exactly. We have to channel that energy, that concern, into action, even if it's something small. Because remember, every action, every voice, every vote, it all matters.
Well, that about wraps it up for our deep dive into this crazy day in the Trump news cycle. Hopefully you found it informative, thought-provoking, and yeah, maybe even a little bit inspiring.
It's been quite a ride.
It has. But remember, this is just one possible future, one scenario. The future isn't written yet, and it's up to all of us to shape it. Keep questioning, keep exploring, and keep diving deep. And until next time, thanks for listening.